Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material competitions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn they're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry?" He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, "It's full of women and children." He says, "It's predominantly not a military fort." He said, "Don't worry about it." They said, "We've left them a way out." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you see that flag way up on the rampart?" He said, "We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule." Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, "How many ships?" He said, "Hundreds." The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, "Men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch." As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says, "The sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs." He said, "It was absolutely impossible to talk or hear." He said, "Suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit." And he says, from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, "Tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us." 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling, every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, "It's still up. It's not down." The admiral came and he said, "Your people are insane." He said, "What's the matter with them?" He said, "Don't they understand this is an impossible situation?" Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, "The thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees." The admiral said, "We have now instructed all of the guns to focus on."
All right, everybody, how you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson. We're live on Blog Talk Radio on the 4th of July weekend. That was a little history there for you. There was a second part to it, but couldn't get it. Just couldn't get the second part. So, but and you got the meaning of the story anyway. They bombed and bombed and bombed, but the flag was still there. And that's the song that we all know, the Star Spangled Banner, which none of you really probably know where it originated from. So if you missed that introduction, shame on you, because that was Francis Scott Key, who that's basically a true story where the British bombed this fort And the flag was still there. That's the Star Spangled. That's where the Star Spangled Banner actually originated from. So I know many of us sung it in school. We used to sing it in school. I know today in school you can't sing it. It's probably against the law. You'll probably be arrested. You know, nowadays. And we all know today that the, you know, we're not really free. I don't know what people are celebrating on the 4th of July today. I mean, yeah, the fireworks are nice. That's great. Pretty soon those will be against the law, too. Well, most of them actually are against the law today. You can't even light off fireworks anymore. Firecrackers against the law here in North Carolina. I mean, you can't buy an M80. You can't buy a bottle rocket. That's against the law. It'll land you 1 year in jail. You know? So how free are we today on the 4th of July? Isn't that pathetic? What do we celebrate? Independence? Yeah. Independence. Independence from what? From what? Yeah. At one time, we were free. And that story there demonstrates how proud the people were back then of the flag when they hung, when they stood there and they made sure that flag stood no matter what, because it was a symbol of freedom. Today, you can't even hang a flag most places. You hang one on your front yard, it's probably against the law. And there's a lot of places across the country where you can't hang a flag anymore. You know, they're taking down the Ten Commandments everywhere. That offends the faggots and the, you know, and the atheists there, you know. The Ten Commandments there. Well, I know we've had a couple shows here where we've discussed homosexuality, you know. And, hey, the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm not going to call you LABGT or whatever the hell the name is they call them now. Look, the fact of the matter is you're a faggot. You're a homo. You're queer. That's what I call you. Simple as that. You're a fudge packer. There, how you like that one? It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, buddy boy. And all you homos out there, how's that sound on this Independence Day? You know what? I'm getting a little sick and tired of people out there. We can't talk. We can't offend nobody, you know? And we got to be careful. You know, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know, and just like the Orlando shooting that sparked that debate over the last couple shows there, you know, and they want to turn it into a gun control issue. It's all about the gun, you know. The gun killed these people. No. They want our guns. We know that. Come on. Common sense. They want to take our guns. It's coming. The question of it is, where will you stand when they come and take your gun? What will you do? You know, I mean, what are you going to say? I'm going to draw a line here in the sand. You cross that line. Okay, if you cross that line. Okay, cross that line. Okay, cross that line. Before you know, your back's up against the wall. You know, what are you going to do? You know, you look out your front door, your next door neighbor's being hauled away. Well, glad it's not me. Look to your left, next door, you know, they're being hauled away. Look across the street, they're being hauled away. Glad it's not me. Next thing you know, they're knocking at your door. Who are you going to call? Dumbass should have freaking got involved and said something and did something before it got too bad. You know, I hear a lot of people say, you need to mind your business, just keep to yourself. No, you need to become involved in your community. You need to get involved with your community and get to know your neighbors. I know it's hard. I have a lot of neighbors that are complete deadbeats. I got one to my right here, fat slob, sits there with a bottle of soda every night. All she wants to do is go to work, come home, pay her bills, and that's it. She can care less if the whole damn neighborhood blows up. As long as it don't affect her, I can go on down the list here. Anyway, real quick, I want to tell you a story about before I start getting the callers here. You know, we always talked about this before. The customer is never right anymore. Nobody cares about the customer. A couple days ago, I'm in my local grocery store, Food Lion. Oh, this pissed me off too. Let me tell you that. You know, there's a 17-year-old kid at the cash register, and I, you know, I ask him, I say, you know, what kind of tobacco you got here? You know, he goes, oh, we got all kinds, all kinds. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, how many kinds you got? I said, I want to buy some tobacco. And he goes, oh, look at them all. You got, no, I said, not cigarettes, okay. I need bean bags of tobacco where you could roll your, you know, where I could roll, where I have a machine that I can roll, you know, roll my own cigarettes. I said, what? He goes, oh, I don't really know anything about that. He goes, I think it's over there on the bottom shelf. So meanwhile, he's ringing up my items, you know. He's on strike one already, by the way, you know. And I lean over the counter, and I said, I can't see him. I says, I need to know what kind. He goes, I really don't know too much about it. I said, never mind. I'll just go someplace else and buy it. Just ring this stuff up. Now, when he's done with the order, it comes to $59.65. I said, yeah, that's what it was. I said, look, I got a card here that has $18 on it. I want to use that card right there first, and I'll pay with my other debit card here. With the balance. He says, okay. Well, anyway, puts the balance on the screen. I says, okay. I says, I can't swipe the card because they're saying I have to pay $59.95. It's going to reject the card. I only have $18 on this card. You have to punch it in. He says, okay. So he redoes everything, punches it in. And I said, it's saying the same thing. I said, okay, I'll swipe it. Swipe it. I said, see, it's declined. I want to pay $18 first. With this card. See, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to do it. And I'm sure a lot of people out there, look, you've paid, on certain items where you said, hey, I want to pay with this, you know, first, and then pay with that second, or whatever. Maybe you have a gift card or something like that. Well, he doesn't know how to do it, so he calls supervisor. Okay, here we go. 5 minutes goes by. 10 minutes goes by. You know, he says, hey, I need help over here. She says, well, I'm with a customer. You got to call Mark. So he pages Mark. Okay, he pages Mark. Hang on, callers. I will get to you. Calm down. It's going to be, I need about 5 more minutes and I'll get to you. Okay, I promise. He pages Mark one time. Pages him twice. Now we're into 10, 12 minutes, you know, and then the pansy in the behind me there, he's getting aggravated. You know, because he's there standing in line buying one can of cat food. Who the hell goes to a grocery store and buys one can of cat food? That's what I'm thinking. You know, it's one of those fancy feast cans. You know, those tiny little cans. Who goes to the grocery store and buys one can of cat food? So I'm kind of wondering about that. But anyway, finally Mark gets up to the register here. This guy's on strike two now. And he's the night shift manager, and, you know, I explained to him. Well, the cashier first tried to explain it. I interrupt him. Hang on. Listen, I want to pay with this card. It's $18. I got $18 on this card left, and then I want to pay the rest with my debit card. So the manager obviously knows because, you know, it's a very simple transaction. Anyway, excuse me. I told him, now, you know, I'm just getting a little aggravated. And I said, by the way, your cashier doesn't know nothing about nothing. I asked him about the tobacco you got here. He couldn't give me any answers about the products you have. And he couldn't figure out this transaction. And I'm a little upset. He goes, sir, he's a new cashier. So he doesn't really know what's – I said, what? I said, that's no excuse. What do you mean? Don't you train your cashiers on how to run the cash register, the people that are taking my money? I said, I'm spending my money here. He goes, calm down, sir. What? What do you mean, calm down? What are you talking about? You know? And now I'm now it's strike three. They're out. Now I'm just going to tear them down with words. And this guy, Mark, you know, he says, again, one time, just calm down. He goes, I'm taking care of everything. I said, that's not the point. You know, you don't go to the hospital and the doctor screws up on your heart surgery and says, well, I was new, you know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm new. It doesn't matter if you're new or not. I don't care. You're taking my money. This is what I'm explaining to this store manager here, you know. And I said, also, I've been waiting here for 15 minutes. That's why I'm a little bit agitated. He goes, you haven't been waiting here 15 minutes. They just paged me. I said, now you're going to argue with me and tell me what? I have been going through while standing in line. You're going to argue with me. I understand this. The customer isn't right anymore. I'm spending my money at your store. What's your name? What's your employee ID number? And I'll be writing a letter to your corporate office, okay? And I'm very good writing letters. I may even call them. I may even call them live on the air if I'm a radio show host, and we'll see how long you're a store manager, okay? This is the problem with America, folks. Nobody cares anymore about what the other person is going through. I'm coming into this establishment, spending my money, and they don't care. The cashier don't care. He's a 17-year-old kid. He don't give a damn. You know, he doesn't know anything about the products on the shelves. What's he care? He's just trying to get the hell out of there so he can get back on Facebook or look at his iPhone. You know, he doesn't even want to wait on the next customer. He can care less if that store closed their doors tomorrow. He doesn't care. And that's the problem. That's one of the main problems we have in America today. I just forgot to put that story out there. I just, you know, it was one of the things that aggravated me. And I'm going to write that corporate office a letter, a complaint. And if I don't get any response, then maybe we'll call them live on the air and destroy them and make them look like idiots like I did Walmart back last year. All right. All right. Let's go to our first caller here. No matter what's on this person's mind. Actually, I think I know who this caller is. I don't think what's-her-face there is going to be calling. What the heck was her? Sue. I don't think Sue's going to be calling. She tried to call me a couple times yesterday, but I just didn't want to take the call. I was busy. I was aggravated. But anyway, hang on. First, before I get to area code 206, I know. Yeah, matter of fact, that's Tone. Tone, I'm going to get to you, but I have to say hello to somebody real quick, okay? Tone, you're next. So let me get to Joe in Sebastian, Florida. Is there anything you want to say tonight? Because I know you have a hard time getting on sometimes. Because I have to call you to make sure you get on. But how you doing this 4th of July weekend?
Well, hello, Joe. I like the way your show started. But, yes, I did have a problem again. I changed over to ITT from Verizon, and I've got the same trouble again. After you dial the number, a woman comes down there and all lines are busy. Please call back later. So I'm going to call the office tomorrow and see what can be done. But all in all, I am getting better. I'm walking better right now. And I can't.
Joe, and for those who don't know, Joe's a supporter of the show. And he actually suffered a broken hip. So that's why I'm checking in with him, because he was gone for a few months there, and I was like, what the heck happened to him? And I found out he had a broken hip. So your hip is healing, and you're able to, and you're doing a lot better, right?
Yeah, I'm navigating a lot better right now. I can't walk far, but I am managing, and I have graduated to a cane when I'm walking too. So that's it, Joe. I'll be watching the show, and I might be in there talking to one person. Back to you.
Okay, very good. Okay, all you got to do, Joe, is after I mute you, just press 1 if you want to come back in or if you have a question that someone else has, okay? But I'll go ahead and mute you right now, and I'll get to Tone and see that. We're going right down the list here. Actually, there was another caller also, but they hung up because nobody has any patience anymore. Here you go. Let's connect Tone on this 4th of July weekend. Tone, go ahead, Tone. What's on your mind?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. How's everything going?
Well, it's going great. My girlfriend and I are going to be leaving in about 30 minutes. We're going to go down into an arts and crafts store in just a minute, and she's holding off so I can do a little bit of calling and talk to you for a minute.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that. I appreciate you calling in. So anyway, I studied those verses. I would have, since you only have a few more minutes before you go, I actually had to do some scripture comparison. Remember last time you called in, you gave me some verses to study and ask some questions.
Sure.
So if you could have some time on Thursday to call in, I will have a complete answer for you. How's that?
Sure. Do you have the answer right now, or is it?
Two of the verses I did research and I cross-referenced in my Schofield King James Bible, but I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about because I want to give you a solid, concrete answer on that before I open my mouth, if you don't
awesome.
Mind.
That sounds great.
All right. But anyway, what's your plans? Well, I know you're busy and you wanted to call in and talk a little bit. So what's your plans for the fourth weekend? I mean, what you got going on?
Well, we're going over a friend's house tonight. We're going to go stay the night, and then we're going to watch my nephew in the morning tomorrow. So it'll be really nice. How about yourself?
Plan to watch the fireworks tomorrow night with my children.
Oh, nice.
And my wife. Yeah, and, I don't know if you heard the introduction or not, but what do you think? Down to the basics here real quick, since I know you got a few minutes. Do you think you're really free today? I mean, here we are celebrating our freedom, our independence. Do you believe you're really free on this 4th of July weekend? Do you believe you have liberty to do as you wish? I mean, compared to what the country was founded on? I mean, just your opinion.
Oh, what the country was founded on? Well, I think a lot more people have a lot more freedoms than when the country was first founded because we had slaves at that time. So, yeah, definitely. I think from that time to now, I think it's a lot more free. Sure.
Oh, you do? Oh, my Lord. Wow. Listen, I've got to disagree with you there. Of course, the slaves are freer today than what they were back then. But as a country in its whole, situation.
What has been taken away from you?
What has been taken away? Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
First of all, they codified the laws, number one. Number two, listen, we can't compare driving a car because there was no cars back then. So let's do this. Let's take the farmer of today and compare it to the farmer of yesterday. Because most people back then were farmers. So we have farmers today. Well, farmers today have about probably, I believe, in my opinion, over 2,895 regulations they have to go abide by. In a dairy and beef and chicken farmers and hog farmers, back then, you know what they had to go by? Zero. Zero regulations by the government. The government didn't regulate farms at all. Excuse me?
But they didn't know about bacteria. They didn't know about diseases. They didn't have a big population like they do today. Things change, and there has to be regulations. If we didn't have regulations and laws, this world would be anarchy, and it wouldn't be liberty.
Well, what do you mean bacteria and stuff? People weren't dying from bacteria and stuff back then. They were healthier, actually, back then than they were. You didn't have as many cases of cancer and all these other diseases.
We didn't have the doctors we didn't have doctors to diagnose, and we didn't have the medical field that we have today. But if you want to talk about stuff, how about the plagues that went around throughout the 13th century? I mean, you have many different diseases that spread around. Today we have these diseases that break out, but thank God for our regulations, which I don't know how that freedom is to go out and enjoy, but I would hope that the farmers would have regulations. Sure.
Well, if I'm a farmer, I'm a dairy farmer. I don't need the government health inspectors coming around inspecting my barn and telling me what I got to do. Back then, my barn was just fine.
But you can't sell your product then. There
Why?
Has to be rules
Who
and
says,
regulations.
The government?
You can't. Yeah, the government. Our government that we live under, yes.
But hasn't all these regulations that we have today actually proven to be non-efficient? I mean, we just basically need to use common sense, right? I mean, if there's bugs in my milk, of course I'm not going to sell it. But you know, I mean, obviously back then, you know, milk was just fine. I mean, we milked the cows. People bought milk back then from their local farmers, and they distributed it amongst their community. And actually, I researched this, and I looked back, and there was actually no sickness or actually any type of I guess you could say, contaminated milk. I researched, actually, excuse me, because the state of Wisconsin, I actually lived on a farm for a little while. So I went back and I looked at the state of Wisconsin through the 1800s and the early 1900s about the regulations against farmers. And a lot of the government farms are knocking out farmers, okay? And that's because of regulation and price fixing. However, what I'm talking about here is regulation. And back then, the regulations that were forced upon the independent farmer, and just like corn, there's just, like I said, the list, like I said, there's over 2,895 regulations that a farmer has to live by and abide by if they're dairy, hog, cattle, or chicken farmers, or what have you. And these regulations, right down to the tractors and the equipment, are bankrupting these farmers.
Let me tell you about what happens when you don't have regulations, okay?
All right.
You have people like Dr. Ventura who come on your show and say that they're a doctor. You have people that just give themselves titles. You have people don't use common sense all the time. You just talked about how your neighbor comes home and she's content with just drinking soda all day. And you talk about how other people read the Bible. You can't rely on other people's common sense. We have to – and when you're talking about regulations, there's regulations and then there's also our freedom. Our freedom – okay, so farmers have these regulations. Don't become a farmer then. If you can't hold the job that they're asking to do, then don't do it. Nobody's forcing you to be farmers.
Okay, Tone, I have a farmer on the line. I'm going to get to him in a second. However,
I hope it's
what
farmer
about,
John.
Let's say, well, hang on. I'm a landowner. I want to add on to my house, let's just say. Just change the subject a little bit, but hang on. I'll get to the farmer. I own a property. I own it. Don't own it. I own it outright. Paid for through, clear, cut and dry. Now, I want, and of course I have to pay my rent to the king, my taxes, my property tax, but that's a different subject. But I want to add a room onto my home. Why do I need permission from my county? Why do I have to get a permit to build a room onto my home? Why? Why? Why do I have to use the supplies that they tell me?
We agree on that. We agree on that. Good. I think that's a little.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, we agree on that.
All right. Good. Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, let's connect
problems, bro. These are first world problems. You're talking about we have nothing but. You could go out right now and buy whatever you want. You have credit. You have all this stuff. We live in a wonderful country. But what people usually do sometimes. And this is kind of weird, and I don't mean to be insulting when I say this, but the ignorance of some people that turn around and say, we don't have liberty. We have the greatest country in the world. I'll tell you what, go live in Afghanistan. Go live in back ground.
You're breaking up on me,
everything. Oh, sorry. You would thank God for what you have here. And so what? Let our farmers have regulations. That's good. There was an E. coli breakout in 1992 from spinach. I don't want to take that chance of eating spinach because I'm relying on the farmer to have common sense. And I can't see that bacteria.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good point. All right. Let's connect to my farmer here. And go ahead, my farmer out in the state of Wisconsin. Go ahead. How you doing?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Tone. How are you? You know,
good. How about you, John?
You're absolutely right. You know, we do need regulations, but to the point where the government is stopping you from being successful with the regulations. You know, when I was a dairy farmer, we milked cows, and we went on what was called a somatic cell count. And depending on what your somatic cell count was, is what you got paid for every 100 pounds of milk you sold. So everybody had to come up to the standard of what the government said, you know, and then they would buy your milk, which was fine. And I think that was a great thing. But right in the middle of everything, they decided that we don't want to go on somatic cell anymore because that's bacteria. Let's go on butterfat. And then they started paying you on butterfat. You know, and the people that had, of course, Holsteins like myself, Holsteins produce milk. They don't produce, you know, butterfat and like Guernseys and Jerseys do. You know, they're very high in butterfat.
Okay, well, this is an important point because you're getting to specifics here as to why some regulations are not good. See, Tone used a generalization that, yeah, E. coli, blah, 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 and it's good to have some regulation, and you agree with that because he doesn't want to buy your milk and get sick. So Big Brother, our government, is going to make sure Tone don't get sick, and that's my point. You see, why can't Tone make sure he doesn't get sick from buying the milk from his local farmer? Why does the government have to be involved?
Because that's not fair. Look, we live in big cities. I live in a
big
city.
You're
your
own person, Tone. You're your own person. You can make decisions, can't you?
But can I say something real quick? For the farmer that was just talking, let me say this.
Okay, go ahead.
When I was a kid, I used to dream of being a baseball player. But that doesn't mean that I make the regulations for baseball to go down so that I can play. It doesn't make any sense. If there's a regulation, I don't go into that sport because I don't lower the regulation so I can enter it. There's a regulation. You're not a slave to being a farmer. If you don't like being a farmer, you don't like the regulations, you can leave.
Wait a minute. Farms are family-owned. I mean, what are you going to tell my ancestors that were farmers? Or
your ancestors are dead.
No, but if we go on what you're saying, I wouldn't be a farmer because they would not be a farmer, you know. And with regulations, I agree with regulations, but don't change them all in midstream, you know.
No,
the Purdue chicken,
don't
Purdue
complain.
Chicken that advertises on
sell
TV.
Your farm.
The Purdue chicken that advertises on TV all the time, right? They just recalled 2 tons of chicken breasts for a salmonella. Now, I thought Purdue was one of the best chicken farms around. I mean, they say so on TV, don't they? They're all corn fed and free ranged and, you know, they all have their little beds and not light and everything else. I mean, but without the regulations, you know, that would have slipped through. And that's why I like regulations. But, you know, it's just like too much of a good thing. You know, government, 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 and then all of a sudden, you know, you can't make any money.
I see your point. You're telling them, well, just sell the farm. That's easy for you to say for somebody who's not a farmer, but Mike's point was very valid. He is a family-owned farm. It's been handed down generation after generation. That's all they know how to do. So you can't – that's not a valid point. But anyway, let's get
okay,
Joe. Let's get – Tone. Hey. Go ahead, Tone. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Tone.
Hey. Oh, Tone's going.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tone.
Go ahead, Joe and Meriden. Go ahead. Joe and Meriden.
Oh,
go ahead.
No. Tone wanted to go first. He can go. I'll come after him.
No, go ahead, Joe.
All right, go ahead, Tone.
All right. Mike, you said, I missed part of what you were saying. You said, I believe you said, correct me if I'm wrong, they used to pay you per 100 pounds based on the bacteria in your milk, and then they changed it to butterfat?
Correct.
So what you're saying is the lower the bacteria, the more you would make.
Exactly.
So let me tell you something. What pays the farmer more, or what pays the guy who picks up your milk more, a test tube of bacteria or a test tube of butterfat? It's just follow the money.
Right.
Well, it's common sense.
In the beginning,
right, exactly.
It was bacteria. How much bacteria you had in your milk is you know how much they pay you. But then all of a sudden they came across and said, well, we're not going to test you on that anymore. Let's go butterfat. How much butterfat's in your milk? Well, a person like me that milks Holsteins, you know, Holsteins ain't bred for butterfat. They're bred for milk production.
But the point, Mike, you make a great point. Who the hell are these people to say this, that, this, that? And now we get to the liberty question of how free you really are as a farmer. That's my point. Who the hell are they to regulate you on a product? You know, I mean,
I think those regulations are good. Like Mike said, regulations are good, and I think Tone agrees with regulations too. But it goes over the top. And as far as the milk is concerned, when they switch from bacteria to butterfat, it's just putting money in someone else's pocket, and that's where the government comes in. They're just stealing it from everybody.
I think I understand what you guys are talking about now, and let me get this right. The regulations you are upset about, but the thing is I thought we were having a discussion. This sounds more like something that somebody in a barbershop sitting in a chair complains about, because this is your job and get over it. There's complaints in every job, but if you don't like it, you have the freedom to leave. And sorry, it is hard to sell a farm, but you know what? Get over it. Don't sit there and complain about something and say that your freedoms are being taken away when you have the freedom to do whatever you want.
Okay, hang on, guys. Hang on. Let's get back to my beginning. You just answered my introduction. Thank you, Tone. What did I say? Cross this line. Cross that line. Cross this line. Next thing you know, your back's up against the wall. What do you do? You just said, free, go here, go there. Well, how about you can't go anywhere else because there's so much damn government in our lives, you can't do anything anymore, you know?
You know, one thing about what I got to say is, you know, tractors cost, you know, $75,000, $80,000, $90,000. You know, 12-row planters, you know, they cost $50,000, $60,000. You know, we're not going out and buying a toy. You know,
yeah.
we're paying for these things that is in our livelihood for years and years and years. Because you know,
it's not like you could sell it tomorrow. Exactly.
Right. And what Tone says, just get out of farming. You know, if you're up to your neck in debt for $500,000. And you have an auction and you only get $200,000, you still owe $300,000 to the banks.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's true. So what you're saying, Mike, is what I agreed upon, and what I disagreed with Tony on was that you just can't change your livelihood and get out of it and choose something else. We don't, you know, and that's what my comparison was to the days back then to today. You know, even in today's times, you just can't sell your farm and go get a job at Stop and Shop or ShopRite or go get a, you know, you like you just said, Mike, your livelihood was as a farmer. So that's not a valid argument, Tom. You know, you can't just say, I don't like it. There's too much government relation. So I'm free to go choose something else. No, you're not. You have a livelihood
that you have to stick with. No,
that's your choice in life.
No, okay, that's different. That's a choice in life. You're talking about something you have to do, saying it's a choice, making sense of contradiction.
Well,
okay,
but it's just like Obamacare now. You know, doctors usually had a price structure, and that's what they went on because Medicare only pays so much and everything else. And then Obamacare comes in and says, that's all done with. We're going to go with this now. You're only going to get paid this much, and that's it. If you don't like it, too bad. Go somewhere else. Where there isn't, go somewhere else anymore.
You're right.
You know,
okay.
So
I got
do you see what
you
I'm
guys.
Getting at?
Do you see where everyone's getting at? There's too much government control, and that was the point of this program. And, yes, you say this is the greatest country on earth. Yes, it still is. Yes, I agree with
you're
you.
Complaining,
but that doesn't
but you're
mean
complaining about
we
nothing.
Can say, well, excuse me?
You're really – look, I got it right here. Supreme Court has explicitly ruled in a case called Parrish in 1937 that there's no freedom to contract guaranteed by the Constitution. Choosing how you want to run your business – it's called freedom of contract, and it is not guaranteed in the Constitution.
Excuse me, Tone. First of all, Tone, you're talking constitutional law. Now you're in my field. First of all, the Constitution is dormant in 1937?
Hold on one second.
The Constitution has been dormant ever since the Reconstruction Acts. You understand what I'm saying?
Hey.
You live in a de facto government today, a de facto code. What did I say earlier? Your laws became codified. Now we're getting into real education here, okay? You have to understand. There's no more public law.
Yeah, and I kind of got a surprise for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Here, I'm going to give you to a certified law student who's in her third year of law school, and she can talk to you more about Constitution. It's my
fiance. Oh, that's great.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, go ahead. How you doing?
Hi. My fiance just handed me the phone. I don't actually know what's going on. Did you fill me in?
he wants you to explain. He said you're a 3-year law student, and that's very interesting. So you're going to be able to practice law. Do you know the difference between practicing law and what in law is? Because I'm in law. I'm not practicing. So do you understand that yet, do you understand that the Constitution has been dormant ever since the Reconstruction Acts after the Civil War. And the 63rd Congress that abandoned their seats they've never been re-inhabited. Do you understand the difference between de jure and de facto?
What I will tell you is that I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know everything about constitutional law. I took constitutional law, and I have an understanding of it. My law student understanding of it. I'm not going to pretend that I'm a constitutional law attorney. I'm not going to say that I practice constitutional law. I'm in law school. I did very well in that class, and I very much enjoyed that class. I overheard my fiance talking about what sounded like freedom of contract issues. And so I just pointed out to him that freedom of contract is, there are very few rights that the Supreme Court has explicitly ruled we don't have, but one of them is freedom of contract, and that comes from the Lochner era cases, which for a long time, freedom of contract was something that was specifically guaranteed after Lochner. And after a hotel case called Parrish in 1937, that is one of the few rights that the Supreme Court has explicitly stated is not a right guaranteed by the Constitution the way other unenumerated constitutional rights are.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Is the Supreme Court the lawmakers of the land? If a Supreme Court decision is conflicting with the Constitution itself, doesn't that make it null and void? And I don't have the exact case on that, but isn't the Congress of the United States of America the only judicial branch that can make law? The Supreme Court can't make law. You're talking case
correct,
law.
But they interpret.
Correct.
They interpret law, though. And there are the three branches of government. First of all, you asked me if the Congress is the only judicial branch that makes law, and that's conflicting because Congress is not a judicial branch. The judicial branch of the Constitution would, in fact, be the Supreme Court. And all three powers, because of the separation of powers, have certain effect in how laws are either made, enforced, or interpreted. And so the Supreme Court, correct, does not make law, but they do interpret that law. And so that's what case law means. And that's what that case law that I quoted, the Parrish case, is interpreting our Constitution.
Okay.
They're not
okay.
Making
I can
law
res-
out of
I can,
that.
Okay.
They're just interpreting it.
Okay, that's fine. So it's not actually law. They're only interpreting their interpretation of the law itself based upon the Constitution and making that case law. And case law is the standards on which courts should rule. Is that correct?
It is. Case law is one of the standards in which courts can rule. But what you're saying is that it's not law, but it is law because they're not writing the law. They're interpreting the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. So it is law.
Okay, okay.
The Constitution being the law and the Supreme Court's the final say on what that interpretation is. right? If there's a conflicting issue between what the California Supreme Court, the New York Supreme Court, the Florida Supreme Court says something is, and the U.S. Supreme Court rules different, then the U.S. Supreme Court, as set up by our Constitution, would be able to have the final say, the final interpretation of that.
But that can be overturned by the people, because the people are the absolute and final branch of the government, correct?
Well, it can't be overturned
through
by
their
Through their elected representatives. If their elected representatives were to amend the Constitution, then that is correct. But that is an extremely difficult process. And until that happens, then that would be that the Constitution is the law of the land as written until it gets amended.
Okay. Now, obviously, you're a law student. You're very well spoken. Obviously, you know what you're talking about. I'd be interested in having a discussion with you when you have time. Tone can arrange it or whatever. I'd like to go one-on-one with you for 1 hour straight and throw at you actually an argument that will actually, how do I say it politely, let's just put it this way, blow your mind and take away everything that you have learned in law school and reverse it and make you think twice about what you're actually learning. Are you interested in that?
That sounds very fair.
Okay.
I'm still a student, and I plan to always be a student through my life, so I'm always interested in new arguments, new interpretations. Like I said, I've taken constitutional law. I've completed my first 2 years of law school. I am by no means an expert. I'm still very much in the learning process.
Okay. Well, you're honest, and that's fair, and I appreciate that. I really do. I broadcast on Sundays and Thursdays. You know that because Tone has been battling with me now for the last few weeks. But I like Tone, and he told us about your engagement, so I just want to say congratulations, too. To you also.
Thank you very much.
So congratulations. Yeah. And I wish you guys happiness and to be successful. That's the most important thing. Be healthy and happy, because without being happy, you're not going to be healthy. And without being healthy, you're not going to be happy. Makes sense, right?
Makes total sense. Thank
all
you
right.
very much.
Well,
you're well wishes.
Are you available next Thursday at 6 p.m.? My time, which is 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for at least 60 minutes. If you're not, just tell me when you are.
I'm not, but I could. I would. Sundays are better for me.
Sunday, okay. Next Sunday. How about next? How about
summer.
Next? How about next Sunday? How's that? Next Sunday. Can
sure.
we have a date here? And I'm not cheating on you. I'm not cheating on your tone here. I just want to have your. I want to have your fiance for 1 hour so we could have a discussion in law. And I'm going to pull my books out, and we're going to have a discussion, because it seems like she knows what she's talking about. Excuse me, you know what you're talking about. And I just want to give you a different viewpoint, to something to chew on and think about, if you don't mind, okay?
Sure, that would be great.
All right, next Sunday. If you want to put Tone back on, I appreciate it. But listen, it was a pleasure talking to you. You seem like a very good person, a sweet person, and thank you for your time. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Have a good day. Here's Tone.
All right, you too. Do I have Tone back? Tone, you back?
I'm here.
Tone, you surprised me with that there. You kind of put me through. I had to hurry up and jump on my feet there. She's pretty smart.
No, I told you. She's quick, dude. Try living with her.
Boy, oh boy, now I know where you get that smart mouth from. Boy, oh boy, you better have it, because that's the only thing you got against her. You know what I mean? But listen, I got the other. I know you said you had to go someplace, and it's past 30 minutes. Just if you want to say something real quick, I'll let you go, and I want to get to some other callers, okay?
You know, if you don't mind, could I say.
Excuse me?
You know, I have like 10 more minutes. If you don't mind, I'll just stay on and listen to the other caller.
All right, that's fine, yeah. And, Mike, if you want to follow up on the farmer's point, just to beat the subject a little bit more up about regulation, and if you could talk about the regulations you had to go through while as a farmer, or if Joe from Meriden wants to comment on anything that Tone and his fiancé and I just discussed, about lawyers practicing law, you can. But her and I will have a date next Sunday at 6 p.m., and I'm going to pull the law books out. What I'm going to do, Joe, and you're familiar with this also, I'm going to pull out the de jure law. And it's going to, and we're going to go against the de facto law because she is taught de facto law, and we're going to really go. I'm going to have a civil discussion with her about law, going back and forth. She threw case law at me, and I'm going to throw some case law at her. But at the same time, I'm going to explain what de jure and de facto is, and we're going to talk about the Republic and this United States corporation, which actually is a long, deep, buried, hidden law that many Americans do not understand, that the District of Columbia is a corporation that actually operates and controls the United States. And they did it very wisely and smart through your postal zip codes, through your Social Security numbers, and I will explain all that very quickly in simple terms. I know Mike's been interested in that for a while, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to study hard this week. But, Joe, do you got anything else you want to add to this conversation?
Nah, if I say anything, we're just going to be rehashing the same points and everything. And like Tone said, why go through it again? It's a great country. It's the greatest country in the world, excuse me. I agree that there should be regulations, but I also agree on a subject that I brought up with Mike. It's all about selling the butterfat for money rather than making sure that you have a good product. And as you can see in times past, it's all about those products that come from China. They're loaded with lead and ethanol and everything else. It's all about the income, the money. It's not about producing a good product. And as far as Purdue goes and his salmonella and bacteria, man doesn't know what man doesn't know. And if we think we know a lot, then we're really stupid because we don't know anything that's really going on.
Well, explain that, Joe. Right. Well, Joe, when you go to the grocery store, you've made many comments that, hey, there's a health section. So what's that say about the rest of the store? Right?
When you go into your grocery store and you see the health food section, what does that say about the rest of the store? That's exactly correct.
That's right. But,
do we really need all this nonsense, though? I mean, we're trying to have a conversation here.
Yeah, I know. If there's any background noise, guys, you can't hear them. But, Tone, what were you saying now about what Joe was saying?
No, I said he was I agree.
Oh, okay, you agree. I know there's one subject we disagree.
What mankind does is with bacteria is kill it. We kill it. That's what we do. We kill everything. And you know what? We don't know what we're doing. And you talked about the plague before. You know, maybe, like I said before, I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know anything about God. But maybe God put the plague to get rid of some of these bad people. Maybe that's why God invented AIDS, to get rid of some of these other people. You know? I mean,
was it man who invented AIDS?
Well, I don't think man can invent anything. But there's one thing I do know. I'm not going to trust a pharmaceutical company that's been around for 50 years. I'm going to trust Mother Nature, who's been practicing medicine since the beginning of time, and that's what works.
She's been killing a lot of people since the beginning of time, too, so you should be careful of that.
Yeah. That's a good comment.
She
gets rid of the people that need to go.
Well, come on now. Who judges that? What do you mean? She gets rid of the people that need to go. What do you mean? What people need to go? What people?
Well, I spoke about the plague. I spoke about AIDS. You know, I mean, we don't have these volcanoes killing all these people. I mean, you know, it's got to be a reason why this stuff is happening and when it's happening. Who am I to say anything?
Christians died during the plague. Tons of Christians died. So
I never
kind of did say something.
Like I said, maybe they needed to go. I mean, I don't know, I'm not saying anything. I'm just making an assumption here.
Yeah, those assumptions are dangerous.
No, they're not dangerous. They're generally true. They're generally fact. Because those things have happened, and no one knows why. And that's exactly what I said. These things happen for some reason, and mankind doesn't know what that reason is. We have salmonella in the chicken, and it's there for a reason.
Okay, so let's say this. Let's say this. Since we were talking about the Bible so many times in the last few weeks, how about this?
Okay.
You guys are constantly talking bad about science, and you say that, you know, God created the world, science hasn't proven anything. So why don't farmers just pray over their cows? That way there's no kind of salmonella, and there's no kind of disease or anything like that. Do you think that that's possible?
Because God has given man free will, Tone. God has given man free will.
God said he gave free will to ask for whatever he wants, and he shall receive.
No, where does God say man can get whatever he wants when he prays?
And Tone, I think that would be a better solution.
Hang on, one person at a time. Okay, Joe, go ahead, make your point, Joe, and then Tone.
I think the farmer praying over his cattle, praying over his flocks, maybe, I think, my opinion, may be a better solution than filling those cattle and filling those animals full of all kinds of drugs, which are going to affect offspring and offspring and offspring and an offspring that we don't know about. As I said, I'm not going to trust the pharmaceutical company. I'll trust Mother Nature, who's been here since the beginning of time. Maybe it's time for those cattle to go, too. We just don't know.
I wish there was more people like you, because that's natural selection. You'd just be knocked off easier. It's evolution. you want to continue to think nonsense and that something's going to take away bacteria, and it's just natural selection. I wish more people like you actually acted on it.
Well, you know if you get a hammer and you hit your finger with it, you know it's going to hurt. So that's the truth,
yeah.
And that's a fact. We're talking about natural selection. You're talking about something.
Apples to oranges.
That's what you're talking about. Apples to oranges. You're talking about someone's opinion on something when you really don't know the different ways a situation could play out.
You don't know. You don't know.
Nobody knows.
No, you can't say nobody knows. You don't know. That's what the situation is.
I could say nobody knows based on my opinion, based on what I've heard people talk about. Because
on your opinion.
As I said in the call before, in the 50s and 60s, doctors said smoke as many cigarettes as you want because they're good for you. That was the common thing back then. Since the 50s and 60s, we've learned that smoking too many cigarettes will kill you. Now, is it the cigarettes that are killing you? It couldn't be the radiation in the tobacco or all the pesticides in the tobacco. That's not a possibility.
How about this? In the last 50 years, science has said so many times when they're wrong. You know who hasn't? Protestantism. They won't say they're wrong.
Well,
so I'm happy to be with the scientific part and say, you know what? We messed up on this. This is the safety part. But when you still hate people like homosexuals and don't get me wrong, Christians thought that black people were evil.
What do you mean Christians hate? What are you talking about, Christians hate? What do you mean? Where does it say in the Bible we're supposed to hate people?
Whoa. That's all I hear on here. Do you think it's hateful to ask if homosexuals deserve to die? You don't think that's a hateful question?
No, I hate the act, Tone.
No.
I don't hate the person. Is murder a cop out then? Do I hate the act of murder or do I hate the person that's being murdered? Answer that question.
The act of murder or you're talking about a victim and then you're talking about the act. Those are two separate things.
Exactly. Who do I hate? Nobody. I hate the act. I hate the act of homosexuality. Because it's wrong and unnatural.
Okay.
I hate murder. I hate stealing. I hate it. You're right. I have a right to
hate
the act and behavior of an individual. Yes. We all have a right to hate. Yes, I do. I believe the love of money is the root of all evil, like the Bible says. Yes.
So you don't have any money.
I do hate it. Of course I have money. It's the only way I could barter, according to the law. You know, I have to follow the
law. But let's talk what's more important, the law or God's law? Because according to God, you give up everything and you follow him. Are you willing to do that?
No. What does he say? Where does the Bible say that? You're taking one verse and you're going with it and running with it.
No, you have to rightly
divide the word and apply it.
No.
There are three applications. You're going to search for something.
You're going to look for something. Anytime anybody brings up anything about the Bible, this is a cop out on Protestantism. You hate the sin,
I'm not a Protestant,
but you love
I'm a
the sinner. Yet you harass sinner. You really believe that all the homosexuals in the United States hasn't heard about Jesus Christ? And one will come up to you, and you told me last week.
They heard about them. I heard about a lot of things, too. I heard Pluto's out there. I heard Uranus is out there. Doesn't mean it's real. What I'm telling you is I'm asking you to believe
Uranus is real.
In Jesus Christ, to believe in him. That's what I'm asking you to believe.
Okay,
we've heard of a lot of things.
Do you think that everybody should?
Do I think everyone should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
I believe personally, in my opinion, yes, because the
now
Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And it, well,
okay,
actually,
but,
you know
I'm
what?
Finished.
You're right. Let me cross that. Hang on. Strike that. As fact, the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and me. He died on that cross for you and I.
You know how many Americans died for us, for this country? I bet you can't name 50 of them. But they all died for the country.
They died for the country, but they didn't die for the world. They died for the country, but not the world.
So what? But they died for your freedom.
So what? There's a big difference between a country and a world. There's 6 billion people in the world. There's only, 350 million in the country.
I understand. You're getting off subject, though. You're talking about somebody dying for people. You have people dying for this country all the time, but you don't worship them, do you?
No. What do you mean dying for this country? How does someone die for this country? What are you talking about? Use an example, please, so I can compare it.
Do you have a computer? Do you have a computer?
Of course. Yes.
Okay. I want you to look up something really quick, okay? And look it up for me right now, okay? You can do online. Go to IraqWarHeroes.org. I'll give you some of my
IraqWarHeroes.org. So you're telling me the war heroes who died during the Iraq War are comparison to Jesus Christ who died for your sin and the world. No comparison.
Okay, I'm looking it up. No. Hold on. Let me finish. You're guessing what I'm saying, and I'll explain it to you. You're saying that somebody died 2,000 years ago for our sin, right? And we're supposed
to
worship
him.
For
your sin and for all sin around the world that man commits. All sin.
Okay,
yes.
Fine. All sin. He died for all sin in the universe, all the way through any planet that there's anybody else. Okay, that's established. What I'm saying
there's
is
only one planet, Earth. We can't. There's no other planets you know of. You could speculate and say, yeah, he died for the universe. I'm telling you, he died for everybody on Earth. You can't make an assumption that 200 people living on Mars and he died for them. That's just silly. Come on.
That is silly. Nobody said anything about Mars.
You said universe and all the people in the universe.
Listen, brother. Don't get defensive. I'm really trying to have a conversation. What I'm saying is whenever I bring up something about evolution or I bring up something against Christianity, what you do is your first thing is you get irritated. And what you do
is you
start defending it before I can even talk to you.
Well, I will always defend the Lord Jesus Christ, of course.
Honestly, he died for me
and you. I will die for the Lord Jesus Christ. If they tell me to deny Jesus Christ, I will die.
I understand that Jesus Christ says I'm part of his church. Okay?
Okay.
What I'm saying to you is you talk constantly how somebody died for your sin. And I'm talking about billions and billions of people, right? Then we talk about somebody just recently in our lifetime. That has died for our country, for our freedom, the thing that you originally, but you don't know all their names. You don't constantly praise them, but you constantly praise Jesus Christ because a book told you that he died for your sins 2,000 years ago. Do you understand
that? Tone, tone. I praise all the soldiers throughout. You look at my Facebook page. All the soldiers that have died and given their lives for our freedom. Of
course. Do you worship them?
Do I know each and every one of their names? Of course not. They died for a human government. Human government. Understand dispensational. Understand the dispensations. Jesus died for the world. The world.
Nobody knows that.
For the world.
You know that from a book. From a book.
No. There's actual proof. There's actual proof. If you don't believe God is powerful,
tell me what it says.
If you don't believe God is powerful enough to preserve His word for all man to see, then put him in a paper bag and he can't get out. Okay?
No,
because God is powerful enough for all of us to see His word.
No, God established my church. You are a break-off of my church. I am part of the original apostolic church.
Well, what church are you involved in, Tone? I'm interested.
And that's the scary part, brother, is I'm telling you about the original church of Jesus Christ, and you don't even know which one that is. That's the scary part. That's what I'm trying to point out on it.
Of course, everyone says their church is the original church. Tell me what church you're involved in. I'm not insulting you.
But I can prove mine is. Other churches can't.
Okay.
First Baptist, all those different names that they put on churches, like First Baptist, First Lutheran, those are just things that people want to associate with first, so that when you drive by, you believe that's the first church. But when you go through studying and you study religion and you study the history of them and you study the history of Christianity, you realize that yours, and honestly, brother, if you really study it, and I know you're a smart guy, but unfortunately, sometimes I was in your situation. I didn't believe in evolution for a long time. I was a Protestant at one point. At one small point in my life,
I'm not a Protestant, Tone. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist, Tone.
But that's what I mean. You don't know what you are. You don't know what I am.
Yeah, I just told you I'm a Baptist. I know what I am. I'm a Baptist.
And you know, brother, honestly, I just wish. I got to go right now, and it felt like we were just getting into a good heated discussion. But
that's good.
We can
carry it on another time. Hey, I still love you. I still love you. There's no disrespect here. I love you.
Hey, same here, brother. Same here. I hope you totally understand. I already know I'm right, so I don't have to prove it. I'm just kidding. But anyways, hey, you guys have a great week. I'll be talking to you Thursday, and my fiance will be on next week. But I hope you guys all have a wonderful week, okay? Except for
Sue.
Well,
thank you very much. Hey, you guys have a good time tonight, and have a safe 4th of July weekend. You and your fiance. God bless you, okay?
Hey, thank you very much. And if you can just relay a message for me, tell Sue I said happy 4th of July.
Hey, Tone, she's pissed off at me because she called me like 9 times yesterday, and I didn't answer.
Honestly, I think Jesus is ignoring her. She is aggressive. All right.
Hey, she's still a human being, and I love her. But anyway, listen, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you next week. All right? Take care. You and your fiance, okay?
Sounds good.
Take care. Goodbye. All right, well, folks, that was Tone. I'm going to go ahead and mute him. He's probably hanging up. But, hey, that was a pretty interesting show. Joe and Mike, I'm going to start getting ready to wrap it up here. If anyone else has anything to say, I don't know. Maybe Joe and Sebastian Florida. I'm going to check in with him. He's still on the line. He might have one more thing to say. So I'm just going to make sure because he may not be able to get through. Hey, Joe and Sebastian Florida, how you doing?
Okay, I'm listening to it. Sometimes I think that Tony gets to be a little bit too much. You know,
I agree.
You could pick apart what he's saying, and you get in the gist of this conversation. He wants to be the ruler. But all in all,
exactly.
What you said about, you know, the taxes and have everything else. Actually, Michael, Joe, and you hit it right on the head. They had taken the money and they turned it into a source of income for the government, and you can't do anything. Because
there's too much government control. Too much government. There's too much government in our lives. That was my point, Joe. That was my point, you know?
Exactly. That's it. And you can't get away from it because there is too much control. And, you know, I listened to a story on TV about the government, and the people are getting rip-roaring mad over our government not doing what they're supposed to be doing, okay? That's all I have. It was interesting, but
hey,
I wouldn't
Joe,
want
well,
this
I
every
just
single
want,
week.
Joe, I just – yeah, that's why. I didn't know if you were trying to get back on, so I wanted to make sure you were – because Mike told me sometimes you try to get on back in the call – and you can't. So that's why I checked back in with you just to make sure, okay?
Well, I did press the button to say something when they were talking about, because, you know, in the olden days, they had a refrigerator, but it didn't look like a refrigerator. And now what they done is they dug a hole and they buried it in earth, and that kept their meat right. And, of course,
it was called an ice box. It was called an ice box.
Well, yeah. Also, the guys, you know, the Conestoga wagons going across the United States, they had a water wagon. And you know how they kept the water pure? A 50-cent piece of silver. That purified the water.
So, there you go.
That's all I have this week. So, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks,
and
Joe.
Thanks.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks for your support. I appreciate it. And you're actually the first call, actually, yours and, of course, Mike and Joe. You're the three that I look for. Everyone else, you know, I wish they'd contribute. It's like Mike said, you know, where's Jason? You know, we used to have family night. Thank God I don't have family night anymore. There'll only be three of us on here. You know, I mean, and that's another thing I get to. Where the hell's the family? Mike and I had a discussion over the phone, you know. We talk about where's our my grandmother in Wallingford, Connecticut there said she was at her next-door neighbor's home there because the gentleman passed away, and I met the gentleman that she's talking about, and he was out there every crack of dawn cleaning up his yard, blowing off the driveway, kept his yard immaculate. You know, hey, that's what kept him busy all day. But he got off his ass and he worked, you know, and his daughter would always be out there helping him. And when she went over there after he passed away, she said that family had so much love and connection with each other, and they invited her in like she was a part of the family. You don't see that in my family, I'll tell you that right now. Oh, Lord. Boy, oh, boy. You know, it's every person for themselves. Yeah, we've got some out there that, you know, are good. Mike's good. Joe in Florida. We got Joe and Meriden. We got Elizabeth Rondo in Wallingford. But they're a dying breed. They're getting older, you know. That's why I teach my two sons. My two sons get what they want. I take care of them. And let me tell you something. My newest little boy, Noah, we take him into the store. Every person that comes in contact with him and says, wow, that's a happy little boy. You want to know why? Because he is well-loved, well taken care of, and he just has that happy. He's always smiling and kicking. You know, and people are amazed that they see a little baby like that, always smiling. And he does. That's all he does. He smiles all the time. It's weird. All he does is smile. Well, of course, when he gets hungry, he'll, you know, gets a little upset. But, you know, or he got to have his diaper changed. But that's what babies do. But other than that, we take him out in public. All he does is smile. You know, and people notice. I'm standing in the line a couple months ago at Subway. There's an old man sitting there, and he goes, wow, that's a happy baby. He's kicking his feet up and down because I had him in the car seat. I put him on the floor. I'm in the car seat there, and he's kicking up and down. He goes, wow, that's a happy baby. I said, yeah, he's always smiling, you know, and that's the thing. That's why my two children will take care of me when I get older, because that's what I'm going to teach them, you see. But the problem with our family is my family and probably many other families out there. These teenagers, they grow up, and they really need to get bitch slapped, a lot of them, you know. And some of them in my family, too, got the nerve to talk back to me while I'm trying to give them advice. Stay out of my way when I see you next time.
because you may get slapped, you know, and that's what you need, a lot of these people out there, these kids. They really do. But anyway, Mike, you're still on the line. If you want to say something to say goodbye, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to wrap it up here. Joe, I don't know if Joe wants to say something before we wrap it up. Mike, you still there? I know Joe's still there. Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, well, we've got 10 minutes left, so I got Joe, too. So we still have Joe and Sebastian Florida on the line. I got a bunch of others, a couple I don't recognize, but most the other five are family, actually. So, Mike, say something, and I'll let Joe say something, and I'll close it out. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I agree with you. You know, I would like to see more family on here. I mean, we have quite a few relatives in Connecticut that, you know, take an hour out of your day. I mean, come on, big deal. You know, you know, everybody can contribute. I mean, you know, you don't bite people. At least I don't hear them crying. You know, and,
even if they don't like me, they can talk to you. You know.
Talk to my brother Joey. I mean, you know, he's pretty knowledgeable on just about everything that, you know.
Or talk to your dad in Florida. For goodness sake, one day he's not going to be here. You know, and then the people got the nerve to show up at the funeral. Oh, I wish they were still here. Oh, get off of it already. Well, you're a phony baloney. You know.
Yeah, I know that exactly what you're saying. You know
exactly, Mike. I'm sure you do.
But I wish we could, we could have 10, 15 relatives on here. You know, just giving their two cents.
It's easy to do, Mike. We have plenty of family to have this happen. 10 to 15, we could have 30 on here. Easy, if like you said, they'd even take 10 minutes. To just call in and say hi to everybody, you know? That's why I did away with the family and friend night. Why? I'm calling people, begging them to call in. Screw it. I'll have strangers call in. I'd rather talk to them because, you know, I'm begging people. Oh, I got to work. Oh, I'm going to a barbecue. Oh, I'm at the Moose Lodge. Oh, I'm doing this. You know, bullshit. You know, I don't want to hear that crap. You know, like you said, Mike, what's an hour? What's 10 minutes, for God's sake?
Well, you know where their priorities are. I mean, you know, if you can't give an hour of yourself, you know, for something other than your own gratification, let's say, you know, what's
then
wrong
you're a
with
selfish
that?
Person. Then you're a selfish person. And you know what? I apologize. Our family didn't teach you better. But you know what? You're old enough to know better. It's just like I said, Mike, you brought up an interesting question last week, the teenagers. You know, all week, I've been trying to get my niece, I've been trying to get John, and a couple of her friends to come on the program to talk about their lives as a teenager, and you know what? I just can't get them. They got excuses that you would laugh at. I got a flat tire. I mean, it's so funny, the excuses they make. But you know what? Tell them they're going to a Lady Gaga concert or pick them up to go have a good time. They're there. They'll make time. You know? That's why no more. You can't help me. You know, I'm tired of trying to uplift people. I'm sick of it. You know, I'm sick of it. But, you know, and I'm not trying to sound hard here, but at the same time, you know, it's time to recognize the good people and allow them. You know what? Stop catering to the bad ones, the bad apples. Let them see how successful the good ones are in life, and let them come to us. Stop going to them. Let them come to us, you know?
Well, I think this is a good medium. I mean, you know, if you have something that might be bothering you, like we're talking about government today, you know, and things like that, I mean, you know, you just get it off your chest, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. You know?
Well, Mike, thanks for calling in. Mike, thanks for calling. I want to get to Joe because we only got 5 minutes left. Joe, go ahead. You've got a couple minutes here. Go ahead.
In Meriden or Florida?
No, Meriden. Meriden. Joe in Florida is on mute right now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, Joe in Florida is absolutely correct. And it goes along with what I was talking about before. And I don't want to make absolute statements here because nothing is absolute. But silver is a great antibacterial. And as he said, they used it in the water to purify the water. And it goes right along with what I said about prescription drugs, pharmaceuticals, and Mother Nature. And I'm not against Mother Nature. I'm not against pharmaceuticals. And I'm not against doctors. For instance, if you should fall down and break your hip, thank God there's a doctor you can go to, because doctors are great, especially for acute problems like that to come along, and so are pharmaceuticals at times. But I put my faith in Mother Nature. Rather than putting chlorine in your water, which chlorine does kill everything, because that's what man wants to do. We want to kill everything. It does kill everything, but chlorine has so many potential side effects that it's unreal. So that's all I wanted to say about that. And as you can tell, I got people running all over here and dogs barking and everything else. So I'll turn it back over to you and we'll call
it.
All
right, guys.
Bye, Mike.
All right, then. All right. All right, take it easy, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Next show is on Thursday. Hopefully Tone's fiance shows up. And, guys, you're going to see me stick it to a future practicing attorney. And we all know how I feel about lawyers. Even Joe and Meriden. But I'm going to hit him with the law. So I'm going to do a little studying for a couple days here, and I'm going to pull out the books, the Black's Law Dictionary, and we're gonna make her reconsider. All right, everybody. Good night. Hello to good night to everybody, and God bless. Take care. Have a safe 4th of July weekend.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were going to fall fast. We are an explosion. We are defending and we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened, an acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.